this is the November 10th, 98, at the home of Doris Binstock for the National Council of Jewish Women, Howard Braun and Judy Rubenstein. Would you say a word? You say your name, Doris.
Well, I'm Doris Binstock, and it's very nice to have Howard Braun and Judy Rubenstein here at my home.
What were you saying, Doris?
I was just going to say how very nice it is to have these visits with you. It's very pleasant.
Oh, good, good.
And I've enjoyed it.
We should make a habit of it, and if you serve something good in a pleasant afternoon,
you'll
come back again.
Besides
plain water. We've pretty much covered your family. Doris, I'd like very much today, essentially, to go over what you think, whether you have any opinions about this or that, you want to messages of any sort, appraisals, judgments. I had the impression from you the other day that you're not as judgmental as some other people, and that's very nice. But that's your charge today. First of all, just as a matter of review, would you name again the various organizations, principal ones at least, that you might want to go on and say a few things about?
Well, I've been active in many organizations. I guess the most favorite ones are the ones I've given the most time to: Hadassah, my synagogue, which was B'nai Yisrael and is now the new amalgamation of a Dutch Shalom, B'nai Yisrael Beth Jacob, Israel Bonds, I've done many more things. I've been president of the Conference of Jewish Women's Organizations. I was president of the American Zionist Federation. I am a docent at Phipps Conservatory. I'm a docent at the Biblical Garden at Rosh Shalom. So keep myself busy doing the things I enjoy doing.
Yes, I know. Keeping you busy, yourself busy, is a primary object at this stage of most of our lives. However, it wasn't always. There had always to be a service aspect to it, and also a so-called ideological aspect. And really, that's what I'm trying to probe today. I'll start you off with a stupid and very difficult one. Our Israel Bonds, our various Zionist efforts in Israel are generally and have been for a long time supportive of Israel in general. So-called in the non-partisan, non-ideological way in Israel, the various organizations we're attached with. On the other hand, look what's happened in Israel. People of what might be termed many of American ideologies and groups seem, because of the fair treatment supposedly in Israel, not been so fairly treated. In effect, are we to continue this approach, generally making contributions and letting the internal factions determine how it's going to go? Essentially, what I'm appealing to, what I'm discussing, what I want you to talk about now with respect to these different organizations in regard to, is it fair to the American participant and is it right to continue in the same manner, or do we take a different tack? And I'm only asking you because of your very prominent association with these things.
Well, I think it goes to the basic of part of my being Jewish and feeling very strongly about the state of Israel. Religion has always been a very great part of my life. I feel strongly about Israel. I feel strongly about the state. Most of my work has been with organizations which are helping the state: the United Jewish Federation, the Jewish National Fund, Hadassah, and the State of Israel Bonds, of course. I feel that we're very privileged to have lived through the years that myself have lived to see the creation of the state and to be able to help in some small way to support it and to see it develop. I am not too political about Israel, except that today, with the very strong feelings between the very Orthodox community in Israel and the other Jews, I must say that I'm more favored towards the liberal side. I am not oriented towards the Orthodox mode that is very straight-laced, has no room for, what's the word I should find? No room for compromises. I recall on one of my trips to Israel, my family used to give a lot of money to the yeshivot. And my husband and our rabbi at that time, Jack Schechter, went to the yeshivot to give the money. The money was welcome, they were not. And I think that trip was shortly after the Six-Day War, and I think that has influenced me a great deal. I just don't think you have to look at life with blinders. There are different ways to practice Judaism, there are different ways to live, and I think that one Jew has to be understanding of another Jew, and because you don't do it their way, they should not feel the way they do. Any fanaticism is very bad, and it's unfortunate what we have in Israel today. But not being an Israeli citizen, I hesitate to criticize them, and I do everything I can to help in any way that I can. And I hope I have years of more time to help them.
Yes, you're coping with exactly the question that I had in mind to do, and you gave a lovely exposition of why we did why you did things the way you did in the past, and a very personal example of a rebuff despite that. Okay, is it time not to be so nonpartisan? Why should we make a contribution, so much of which is supporting effectively a faction in their schooling and everything else, which effectively rejects us? Why shouldn't we redirect ourselves? Why shouldn't you redirect yourself so that we would support a conservative faction religiously in Israel instead of so-called UJF and Hadassah in general?
Well, I think they assist the infrastructure. The social service is part of Israel, and I don't think you can, they're not strong enough yet or financially able yet to do all this for themselves. I think it's a privilege to be able to help them, and I think what they've done in the past 50 years is absolutely remarkable. But I've always said that Israel needs every organization that has an Israeli program, whether it's one that I participate in or one that I do not. And it's a combination of all these efforts that have helped to build Israel and to make it what it is today. And I think it's just one of the most wonderful places there is. You have to visit it to appreciate it.
And you have to live it. Okay.
Well, we live it, but we don't actually live there. And if you don't live there, I don't think you can be too terribly critical unless you actually are part of it, part of the scene. And a tourist and a visitor and a financial contributor really, I don't think, gives you the right to be very, very critical.
I deliberately pressed you because you were not just a ordinary local participant. You were a local leader to whom we all looked for some idea and guidance on a matter that's so basic here. What about the local, the Hadassah thing, for example? Dottie's been involved in that, you're involved in it, Judy. There's something very remarkable there, that so little of their money is wasted. It's the only one I like for that reason.
Low administrative cost.
But your low administrative cost. Is it going to stay that way?
I hope so.
What's attracting? Why is it significant to get young, how is it possible to get young members? Isn't the job the one you did and my wife did and the others now? Why would my daughter, my grandchildren, associate with Hadassah?
Well, why would they not?
Well, they're life members because my wife
because
paid their money.
Because
my wife
I
made
understand.
Life members. But,
Well, it's true.
Why would they not?
I think years ago, when I was starting out, joining a women's organization sort of fulfilled a social need, most particularly if someone was moved to another city after they were married. And of course, the memories of the war and the Holocaust were very, very fresh. I don't think we should ever forget it. And young people today do not know what it is to live without a state of Israel. They take it for granted. And we have a real challenge to educate them to the needs of that might arise and are there for Israel and that it should be part of their lives. We are a blessed generation to have been able to live to see as much as we have seen of the future. And God willing, peace will come in our lifetime. That I don't know, but I pray a lot.
Well, the Hadassah national, U.S. national infrastructure is great. And my feeling is that it's coasting at the moment. They will continue to support, but the I'm asking if you see any vitality that will keep it in that ascendant mode that it has been. It really has been in terms of, yeah, I think it was the main American it's the largest American
women's
organization.
Organization that it is. Well, I think that it's very difficult for me, feeling as keenly as I do, to be patient with those who don't feel that way, who don't see it as I do. But we have to understand that life today is very different, and that women, in some instances, don't have as much free time as they used to. Most families are two incomes, and if a mother is working, raising a family, it doesn't give her as much time for volunteer work as, say, I had. But there are, you know, they say it takes a busy person to get a job done, and we're very fortunate in Hadassah that we have a lot of very active, vibrant young women who are working, raising a family, and doing volunteer work. And I think that's really our stock in trade, and I look forward to the next few years, or like the future, to be as successful as the past has been. Maybe not with the emotional pull that we had years ago, and hopefully there will be no need to have that emotional pull again. But I think that American Jewry will continue to be aware of the importance of Israel, and I definitely feel when there's an Israel, you can be a better person, you walk straighter, you hold your head higher, and you're just much prouder of yourself and who and what you are.
Did you ever meet Henrietta Soule?
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. You might have, going there or traveling.
No, because she was gone before I ever went the first time. My first trip was in 59.
Uh-huh. And she was gone by then?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did meet Goldie Mayer.
Uh-huh.
But I never did meet...
any other of the principal leaders?
I was in Begin's home.
In Begin's home?
For none of Shabbat.
Uh-huh. I'm
trying to think. I've met many of them. But,
mm-hmm. Why did he like you?
Oh, I don't know that he liked me per se for being me, but I was an American who was in Israel on a Shabbat, and we were invited to his home for an Onyx Shabbat. He was a charming gentleman. He really was.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that.
You know, been at the president's home, but...
Eshkol?
I don't remember which one now.
Mm-hmm.
But look, you know, when Americans go to Israel, they're invited in group to do some of these things, and it's mm-hmm. always a pleasure to do it. I haven't had a real close, intimate relationship with any of them.
With any of them. Mm-hmm. Let me switch the subject away from Jewish. I noticed that your Phipps Conservatory, mm-hmm. What How come?
Well, I saw an ad in the paper, I guess about 15, 16 years ago, when the first docent class was being organized by Irene Jacobs from Beth Sholem, Rhoda Sholem, and it looked interesting, and I joined the class, and I've been doing it ever since. Mm-hmm. I got to know her very well, and I got to know a lot of other people, and when she initiated the Biblical Garden of Rhoda Sholem and asked me to mm-hmm. be a docent, I went along with that, and I've had fun doing that, too.
How come they've been able to make it financially without the city?
In fact, they're doing better without
exactly
the city.
Why?
Because they have a large, well, they have a large membership. Phipps Friends has a very large membership and a very strongly established board mm-hmm. who are very generous.
Mm-hmm.
And they've really done, the conservatory is really very nice, even nicer now than it was before.
Oh, absolutely. We live right near it, mm-hmm. so we know that, and
well,
we're members, but I wondered how come they could do it. And look at the zoo.
But the zoo and the aviary.
How can they do that? How can they all do it? Pittsburgh's a little place.
Free enterprise.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Pittsburgh's a very special city. We're I'm not that familiar with other cities, but you go to Phipps Conservatory, which was given by Henry Phipps, not far from the Carnegie Museum, which was given to the city by Andrew Carnegie,
yeah,
in the center of Schenley Park, which was the land was given by Mary Schenley, and
they're all dead,
and they all made a lot of money here in Pittsburgh and this area, except Mary Schenley, and they gave it back.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very wonderful, and Pittsburgh is...
There are no more of those.
No. That's a bygone age.
That's right. Even that guy who runs Heinz Ketchup.
What's his name? O'Reilly.
O'Reilly, yeah. He got something big named after mm-hmm. himself for $80,000.
The Public Theater.
A couple million, not 80,000.
No, it's more than 80,000. It's even more than that.
It's about 5 million.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Well, Pittsburgh's a corporate center, and we're not quite as large as we used to be, but we still are a corporate center, and people in this community are very generous. We're
mm-hmm.
very fortunate.
Mm-hmm. That's certainly right. I want to ask you a little bit about local politics. I know that your father definitely had to pay somebody or fuddle around with somebody. I mean, after all, a businessman had to associate or know the local political forces. So you might not have been that close to that, but do you know anything about the shape and type of Pittsburgh politics, how fair it is, or right or wrong?
Well, personally,
who'd you know? Who
really
have you known?
Can't tell you.
Who have you known?
Personally, I've never really gotten involved in the politics of the city.
You know Sophie?
I know Sophie. I've met
yeah.
her. I've met most of them.
Pete?
They're names to me, but I've never really worked
mm-hmm.
politically in any of the campaigns
uh-huh.
to get to know any of the candidates or
uh-huh.
the officials well. I can't really speak from personal experience because
mm-hmm.
I haven't really ever been involved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you know, Senator Spector by any chance?
Well, when you ask if you know someone well enough that they recognize you, that means you know them well.
That's
if
all
you
I'm
recognize
talking about.
Them, that's a different story. I recognize them, but I can't say that anyone recognized me because
well,
I've never been involved in politics.
The implication of my question is mm-hmm. obviously a sufficient knowledge that you would have an opinion that you'd want to express. Who did you like that did a good job for Pittsburgh?
Well, you don't have to like somebody to admit that they did a good job, but you don't have to know somebody.
That's right. Who?
Well, the first one you start out with is Lawrence, Mayor Lawrence, who was very influential with the Renaissance
mm-hmm.
in Pittsburgh in
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
early 40s, and I think they did a superb job in the city. It's been growing since then, and hopefully it'll continue
mm-hmm.
to do that.
Yeah. Have you any feeling about Pete Flaherty?
He neglected a lot of things in the city.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. So
he
I asked
neglected
you that
the
one.
Upkeep of the city tremendously. We're still trying to catch up with that.
You see, you do have an opinion about it. Yeah. Murphy's trying really hard running uphill. If Pete still had a chance.
Yeah, well, it's a little different time, too.
That's right. Yeah.
Ben Murphy's trying.
What was that? Why is it different? Why is the city different?
Well, the city is different today. It's not a steel center anymore. It's a service center. And with the mills closing and the cleaner air, it's a different community than it was in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a declining population, unfortunately.
Why?
We don't seem to be able to keep our young people here.
Why?
Well, our jobs aren't what they want.
That's right, exactly.
We have to become more modern and more up-to-date and probably go more into what is needed today, the computers.
Yeah.
We train them, mm-hmm. and then they leave.
Yeah, well, grocery...
So what we have to do is keep them.
Grocery business won't do it, will it?
Mm-hmm. Not quite.
Can you observe whether the local inter-Jewish religious groups are different here in Pittsburgh than elsewhere? Have you observed that? Less combative?
Well, I think there's a cohesiveness in this community where people, all the organizations seem to work together.
The synagogues
work together, and the women's organizations work together. There is a friendliness, a purpose in this community, even among the religious factions, to work together. There's not the divisiveness that exists in other cities.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very fortunate in Pittsburgh that we have that. That adds to our strength.
Yeah, have you noticed that so many of the young of the reform, I think in many deriving from the grocery business, have joined the Chabad?
Well, I don't know what you mean when you say from the grocery business.
No,
but
children of the...
I know what you mean, but I mean there are certain young people who became interested in the Chabad movement when they were in school, who influenced their parents, who in turn influenced their friends, who have given them support through these... How long has it been that it's become...
About 20 years.
Yeah. And these are the families that helped them along. And by and large, many of them were and still are Reformed families.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's where the Chabad really got its nurturing from the very beginning.
Oh, that's where it got the money.
Hillel, when it started, was started by just the nucleus of Jews in the city, not necessarily all Orthodox Jews. And I'm not as familiar with the yeshiva and their beginnings. But I know from my own experience, my own family, which was always conservative, was supportive of both of those.
Of Hillel especially, too.
More so Hillel.
More
Hillel,
yes.
But they did support.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, Rabbi Posner was everybody's friend.
That was part of it, but also there wasn't anything so-called Orthodox, and it seemed unfair, and they needed that.
Well, there was an element of the community that needed it, but then, of course, at Lubavitch, sent a lot of people into Pittsburgh and helped to develop the community.
Yeah, Lubavitch came much later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Hillel...
Well, I'm more familiar with Hillel.
That's why I'm asking you. I'm asking you about Hillel.
My children did go to Hillel for 4 years.
They did?
They certainly did.
Mm-hmm.
And my only comment on that is they ran a wonderful school, how can I put it? They ran a very good school, but there are certain restrictions if you're Orthodox that do come out. My children could go to their homes for the weekends. Their children were not allowed to come to me. And when the children got older and that became more and more obvious, it added to my decision to take the children out of the school and put them into public school, which I did do.
Mm-hmm. It's that type of a personal response I was trying to provoke you to with respect to American contributions to Israel.
Well, but how can I put it to you? The children went to Hillel. There were things about Hillel that I didn't like. But I still wouldn't necessarily today contribute to the Orthodox element in Israel or to the yeshivot. I feel that every community has to support their own. I don't think it's fair to go to other cities to raise money, and I don't really approve of that particularly. But I wouldn't let my politics keep me from supporting Israel if push came to shove. I wouldn't. Because I think the basic is much more important than that. But I choose to support the groups that are more conservative, which is what my feeling is. I will say that the reform movement seems to be much more conservative today than it was years ago. And until you get down into some of the basics of the nitty-gritty of it, and then, of course, philosophically, there are differences. But generally speaking, they're more centered than they used to be. But I think this is just a development in Judaism today. I just hope that we can keep interesting young people, and I think one of our greatest weaknesses in America today is that our education of our children seem to stop at age 13, and that's when they really should start, and that's when they really should continue. The most of them are allowed to quit after bar bat mitzvah, and that's unfortunate. Then 15, 20 years later, when they're parents, they realize what they're lacking, and then they go back and take other education courses. But as long as they go back, it's the important thing.
Doris, we've been very impressed with your background of love to give you this quiet strength to lead the love of your parents, your husband, your family, has given you a lot of inner strength. And one of the things that we were most interested in, as you led many of these organizations, what did you feel were some of your best accomplishments? Maybe you could start with Hadassah, since we spoke about Hadassah first.
Well, I don't know that I could say that there are any great accomplishments. I think I personally benefited more than anyone else in that it helped me mature, it helped me develop, and it helped me to make friends. I think that selfishly I benefit more than anybody else. The one thing that I could say that I guess I take the greatest pride in is that while I was president of B'nai Israel Sisterhood, we instituted a bat mitzvah class for adult women, and we had a class of 13, and 11 of them were bat mitzvahed. And that was, I think, a big step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I think that may be one of the most proudest things I have ever had a part in.
While Rabbi Schechter was still here.
Yes, and Mrs. Schechter, Leah Schechter, was our teacher.
Was your teacher.
She was very special. Yeah. They both served, but she was an excellent teacher. Well, I've been very fortunate in that I've been close to mm-hmm. all the rabbis of B'nai Israel. Rabbi Lichter, whom I grew up with.
Yes. Well, how about that last one?
Rabbi Markowitz still is a good friend of ours, and we correspond with him all the time. We still hear from the Schechters. Mm-hmm. The only one we have been in touch with is Rabbi Chertoff since he left. But we've always been in touch with him. We've had a very good relation uh-huh. with him. And that's been a privilege to get to know your mm-hmm. your rabbis well.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else in retrospect that you might have wanted to do differently?
I don't think so. I really don't. I've really been very, very happy. The only thing I might have done differently is in the early years of my marriage, before I had children, I sometimes regret the fact that I didn't go back to school to get a master's degree. But other than that, I don't think I would have changed everything. And I know that sounds very complacent and very smug, but I'm fairly well satisfied with myself, if I may say so.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about your children and your grandchildren?
Well, the eldest is a boy. His name is Jeffrey. He is a dermatologist living in San Francisco, married to a lovely little girl from Wisconsin, whom we dearly love, and they have two little boys. And we're looking forward to our first bar mitzvah in June of 99.
What city?
In San Francisco.
No, it's always kind of pardon.
And
are your grandchildren's names?
Well, J. Allen Binstock. And this next name is really one of my favorites. Maxwell Logan Binstock. A sweet little boy with a long name. Named for two grandmothers. He's really a dear. And he's 9 years old. And then I have a daughter living in Pittsburgh who has two boys.
Her name is?
Her name is Susie.
And her last name?
Rosenberg.